It's thank you for the privilege of coming before you tonight, and it's like sharing with the every nation, kindred, and tongue that are going to be before the Lord one day, and we have them here joined at 16th of McDonald. It is a real joy to see all of you, and to
Amen.
see the good work that is going on there. I recognize some of you. I was talking about Roy the other day at the dinner table. We had some folks over. There's some new Chinese families joining us at Oak Bay, which is a real privilege. I can't believe Harold and Eric, it's 46 years and 3 months since I came to 16th McDonald's. I'm an old guy now. There's only one life to live and soon be passed. But Harold's got it always straight. It's only one life to live, will soon be passed, but it's only what's done for Christ will last. And again, it's great to see you folks carrying on, and Lord bless you in the gathering together. And then again, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together in these last days. The Lord's coming any moment. Be ready and be in the Word, and keep on carrying on faithfully. I was just this was going to be. My theme is a little bit about being faithful to God's word and being faithful to the Lord. But I was going to start off with my testimony. And it's probably a story that's not uncommon. I was born in Port Alberni to German immigrants. And they were living in Port Alberni. And they came from Germany, from some assemblies in Germany, but they weren't really satisfied with the meetings in Port Alberni, so they never went anywhere, which is very unhealthy overall. But one thing you can be thankful for, we prayed at every meal. We read daily calendars, regularly. Unfortunately, we didn't have regular Bible readings. And again, like most immigrants coming from, my parents were like poor as church mice, lots of work, lots of busyness. And so we weren't into the Bible regularly and we didn't go anywhere. So the first 20 years, we never went anywhere. And, but I did have a reverence and fear for God because my parents believed in God and we prayed. And one thing, somehow it's a weird thing. Satan gets you to know this. You start believing that hopefully, your good works are going to get you into heaven, and hopefully my good works are going to outweigh my bad works, and on a basis of good behavior I was going to get into heaven. And so at 21 years old, I was like much of the other religious people around that you may know, your neighbors. They're just hoping to be good, just be good enough, and that on the basis of their good works they're going to get into heaven. That's you have neighbors like that today, really nice people. And they don't really believe God. They say they believe God, but really don't. And one of the things, if you don't read the Word of God, you don't know some pretty shocking things. One of the great shocking things is in Isaiah, 64 and 6, and God's Word tells us we are all as an unclean things. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. It's actually pretty shocking, and I wouldn't have known that. And one thing that we know in Revelation 21:7, no unclean thing will come into heaven. But of course, if you don't read the Bible, you don't know that. If you look at the famous books of Romans, the Roman Roads, it clearly tells us that there's none righteous, none of us have done right, no, not one, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I came up believing in a God, but I didn't know a single thing about the Word of God. One of the things you also don't really understand is the clear statements that Ezekiel in 18:4 says, "All that sin shall die." There's a spiritual death, but there's also a physical death, and every sinner is going to die. But one of the things that we know that also that every sinner is going to face judgment. And of course, it's interesting. Much of Christendom doesn't really understand this. Some people might have heard of hell, but they've never heard about the Great White Throne, where there would be judgment for sin. And there would be sentencing for our sins. And then there would be eternal punishment for sins. I had never heard those things. I mean, if you hear those things, I mean, they're quite serious and quite frightening. One of the other books that will be opened at the end will also be the Book of Life, and all those that trust Christ as their Savior are found in that Book of Life, but those that have never trusted the Lord Jesus are not found in that Book of Life. You know, as just a religious person, I didn't know those things, and one of the things that is kind of frightening when you look in Revelation says everyone who's not found in the Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's we find that in Revelation 20, and it's one of those things that should grip you, but unless you read the Word of God, it doesn't mean anything. And then in Revelation 21:8, we see this really serious word. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, we hear the Lord say, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars." I had an next-door neighbor, he'd say, "I'm just a little liar. I'm sure God's going to let me into heaven." No, it says, "All unbelievers and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And scripture tells us a place of torment goes on and ever. And everyone will be sentenced there that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things as a religious person, you also don't know the key. The key, how would I get into heaven? And the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14 and 6, it says, the Lord Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." As a religious person, I didn't know that. I mean, I believed in God, but I didn't understand anything about the cross and the work of the cross and why the Lord Jesus was important. I didn't understand anything about what the Lord Jesus did. I didn't understand that the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross to shed his blood to purchase me to save me from going to a lost eternity. I didn't know that. I was basically just believing if I believed in God, hopefully my good works would be good enough to get into heaven. And I think that's quite common. I mean, you guys, if you're testifying to your family or neighbors or people around you, that's a very common thing. And sometimes I think as Canadians, we like to pussyfoot around and we don't like to share the gospel, the real hardcore gospel. There's a savior who came into the world to save sinners. This is a time of year where we're sharing about the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved that he gave, and we don't talk about that part. It's save them from what? Save them from what? And so, it was important that you hear gospel, and unfortunately, I never heard the gospel. One of the things that happened then later on when I was 18, I came to UBC, and at UBC, for the first time in my life, I met some folks from the Campus Crusade for Christ, and I met some navigators. And while I said I'm a Christian because I believe God, well, I knew they had something that I never had. They knew peace with God. They had an inner peace. And you know what? The nerve they had, they said they knew they're going to heaven. In 1978, I came back from university to go visit my parents in Port Alberni. And at that time, they started going to a small assembly, which Jeet knows very well. And there's a lot of souls being saved at that time. And I came to the meeting, and there's an older gentleman, Matt Baxter. He sat beside me, says, if I'm going to heaven?" And I said, I hope so. Well, he knows the answer is you don't know, so you're not going. And one of the things that's clear, if you read 2 John 5:13, it says these things are written that you may know you have eternal life, not hope so. And so he knew right away that, I didn't know anything. I was, I might have had feared God. I didn't believe God really in the sense of knowing him and knowing his son and what he's done for me. And one thing is, again, it's important for Christians to know the thing that spoke to me right when I first came to that meeting was the love the saints had for the Lord and the love the saints had for one another and for me. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. And it's a great testimony. It's a gospel message, right? I mean, you see that something's unnatural. I don't have what they have. And so, but that struck me that they had something different, which I didn't have. And so I knew that there was something there different that they had. So I prayed to God. I didn't know God. Unlike me, neighbors, they'll have fanciful thoughts about how you might get to heaven. If you don't know the Word of God, if you don't read the Word of God, our neighbors, our friends, even our family make up, if they don't know the Word of God, they'll make up ways to get to heaven. At my 21st birthday, I got a Bible for my birthday, and I started reading the Bible, and I started being really exercised about what happened in my life and what my life is on. And I started reading some words in the Bible that said this: "He that has a son has life." John, the Gospel of John is a really important book to be in. And in John 3:18, if you go there, you'll see the word of God tell us, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not condemned. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." What a shock that is to really to understand that. I'm condemned already, going to a lost eternity without a savior, because I have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. It was a little simple, to hear that. In the Gospel of John, you'll see the word "believe" 85 times, more than any other book in the Bible. But often when we're reading, we don't even see these things, and unless the Spirit of God opens your eyes to see it, you can't see it, and you're kind of blind to it. And it must be the Spirit of God that really opens your eyes to see the Word of God, and to be convicted by the Word of God. And so, during that summer of 1979, I was really convicted that I was going to hell. I really started to understand that I'm not going to heaven on my good works or on my own merit. It is that I'm lost and hopeless. And I really still didn't know the way. How can you be saved? How can you be saved from going to hell? The people at the assembly and my parents knew that I was really troubled. I was really in turmoil for about a week. Like, how can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? Did God speak to them in a loud voice? Was there thunder and lightning and that? How would you know that? And boy, I was in trouble. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And then my dad pointed me to a book called Grace and Truth by a brother named William McKay. And you have some of his hymns in the Believer's Hymn Book. And I don't think I got more than 30 pages into that book from William McKay, and I came across the secret. And we read about that in Acts 16, 30 and 31, and we see this jailer come and say to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And it's one of those things where you say, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Sort of like, all the burdens of your sin and your worry is all lifted up. knowing that it's the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for me, and believing on him, I have peace with God and I have assurance of going to heaven. So it was a great peace to know it's just the simplicity of trusting in the Lord Jesus and what he's done, and trusting in him for salvation. It's simple faith, but of course, until the Spirit of God takes a hold of you, you can't believe it, right? It's one of the great things, and this is the importance for Christian life, that the saints told me right away, you should tell others that you're saved. And right away, I told my sister, and she knew I wouldn't never tell her something that personal. So she knew something was going on. And I told my best friend I got saved. And he said, "Ralph, have you been drinking? Have you been drinking?" Like he, I wouldn't tell anybody that's something that personal. But so I shared the gospel with them, how I came to know the Lord Jesus. And of course, that spoke to them. My sister got saved 3 months later because the following day, the saints also told me, you know, if you are a believer in Christ, you should follow his command that we should be baptized. And so the following day, you know, I was baptized to publicly confess that I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm now a new creature, raised from the dead, trusting and living in him. It was just a, you know, a great joy, and I'm so thankful the saints, you know, they helped me understand these are important steps. And you know, in scripture there are two key ordinances for Christians: believers' baptism and the breaking of bread. And again, they showed me from scripture that if I love the Lord, I will naturally want to give thanks and praise and worship the Lord Jesus. But that should be the normal thing for a newborn Christian. It should be no normal for an older Christian to want to desire to lift up, to honor the Lord Jesus. And I'm so thankful. Then the following week, I was with the saints, remembering the Lord Jesus, and in the breaking of bread, giving thanks. So again, it's one of those things where, you know, it's for every Christian, some Christians hold back on baptism. You know, the longest time between a believer being making a confession of faith and being baptized in the book of Acts, how long the longest time was? It was 3 days, and that was the Apostle Paul. So in the normal Christian view from Acts, you're not taking a long time between confession of Christ as your Savior and being baptized. And so I'm thankful that we had that opportunity to be baptized, to break bread with the saints, and to be there. And then 3 weeks later, I was going back to UBC, and I'm thankful again, you know, for the love of saints. They had actually encouraged me not to go back to school, but spend some time in Port Alberni. But I wasn't sure what I should do, so I went back to school, and that was 46 years ago. 3 months ago, I came with a letter of commendation to 16th and McDonald. And you know, it's one of those things where you're always thankful, and I think perhaps everyone should be thankful, you know, for the care of the saints one for another at 16th. And I came there, and my early 2 years of being at UBC, the saints really helped me out, taught me the fundamentals in the scriptures, and this helped lay a good foundation for my Christian walk. And I think it's important that, you know, Christians not forsake the gathering themselves together, but be in the Word, be together, be a discipled. And as you guys all, many of you are all in regular meetings, and that's great. That is continuing on. But it's important that we do that. We have, you know, we have people who think I can be my own. I don't need to meet with anybody. It is really harmful for the Christian life not to be gathering together. So I'm really thankful for the saints teaching me there for many years, and also the example. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Be an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And that's what the older saints there were, at 16th McDonald, they modeled Christ likeness. And so each one of you too, you have a, have a, have an effect on those around you in modeling Christ. I don't remember many of the messages, like say I remember Harold's dad. I don't remember messages his dad or the other godly saints that they gave, but I do remember their Christ-like walk and their reverence for the Lord Jesus. And that speaks really loudly. And I remember that. I remember also, the hospitality of the saints. And again, we're exhorted in Romans 12, 13, to be given to hospitality, to be given to hospitality. And I'm thankful for the saints at Port Alberni. I'm really thankful for the saints at 16th McDonald when I was there. They opened their homes, and I was always invited home for lunch. To somebody's home, and sometimes I said no because I'm pretending I'm too busy at UBC after the meetings. But I think it was a real blessing to be with the saints and to enjoy the hospitalities there. And I think for all of us, it has spoken to my life, the importance of the hospitality, because when later on, when I worked in logging camps, when I worked in small communities up in the Queen Charlotte's and then on Northern Vancouver Island, it was the hospitality of saints and the care for the saints that really kept me keeping on being faithful to the Lord. And I think it's something, I would encourage you folks all in your, in whatever way you can, continue on in hospitality. My early life taught me an important lesson. I mean, sometimes you regret being saved late. But actually, as I look back to it now, I don't regret being saved late. I know what a religious person is. That was me. I know what it was like. I know what it is like to know that you're lost and your sins forgiven. I'm thankful for that. But I also worry that, for all of us, we need to be in the Word of God if we're going to know anything about God and who the Lord Jesus is. And also to worship the Lord Jesus acceptably. I mean, these are the the exhortation the Lord Jesus said to his disciples the last night. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word." And the word of God has a sanctifying effect on our lives. It keeps us holy, separate from that which is defiling, and makes us suitable to come before the Lord in worship and praise. We need to be in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." I work with some people who refuse to gather with the saints. So after many years, they end up being not very knowledgeable at the Word of God, and it's very sad. It's very sad when they're not. They could have more joy, and for some of them, COVID was actually good. COVID was actually good because it drove them into the Word. I mean, I actually was kind of surprised that a lot of number of people that I know that I worked with, COVID actually drove people to the Word of God. Some people drifted away, but some it really change your life. And again, for all of us, we need to be in the Word and to be holding fast to it. It's, in Vancouver and as in Victoria, there's lots of drifting going on. Lots of drifting, lots of challenges in gathering with God's people. But again, we are exhorted three times in Revelation to hold fast to God's word, hold fast to the Lord Jesus. And to be a good testimony, a bright shining light as this world gets darker and darker. And we pray, for you folks, and we ask that you pray for us, that in this dark world we would be able to walk faithful, that we would be in the Word of God, and that it would be keeping us shining brightly. It is a strange day. I don't think we've ever seen in many years how many people drifting and coming into the meeting here at Oak Bay, like unsaved people looking for some peace. They're looking for peace with God. And it's not that we're dragging people to come to the meeting. People are looking for peace. And Hopefully we can show them the Prince of Peace, the Son of God's love, and then be a help to them in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you guys go on, keep on keeping on, look up. The Lord's coming soon, anytime. So thank you so much. And one last one. This is one of you guys know Ray Hanna, and I liked when he said this. He said this one night to us when he was over here. He'd like to put this on his tombstone. In third epistle of John, verse 4, it says this: I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. That's what he'd like to have on his gravestone for his own children. But I know this is what the Lord's desire is, that he would have no greater joy than to see his children walking truth. And so may the Lord bless you and keep on walking in truth. Thanks, Harold.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So, among other things, we have joy because you're still walking in truth. And that's very encouraging for us. We look back and we thank the Lord for the privilege of your fellowship many years ago. Very good. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we're thankful that you're in the business of doing good work over a long period of time. And it's true, Lord, we got excited on Sunday when Ben Yu came back after about 50 years. And we're excited tonight that Ralph is with us after 45 years, I guess, when he probably left. But Lord, we're so thankful that the work of God carries on. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are born again. And that new life just keeps on getting better and stronger. And one day, Lord, by the grace of God, we'll move from here into eternal life in the presence of our Savior. And we just say hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for Ralph, for the grace of God to him, for the grace of God through him to us and to others. And Lord, all of these items we had on our prayer list this evening, we continue to remember them and cry that you will be watchful over us. Help us. We pray these prayers, Lord, in your will. We say, Lord, if it be your will, would you do these things that we're praying for? And frankly, Lord, if you've got a better plan, then we want to go in that better plan. We don't want to tell you what to do. We ask you to help us, and then you lead us in the way that's best, please. So thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one who was here, both here in the building and on Zoom. Thank you for all the grace to us. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers as we try to tell other people about Jesus. And we're praying that many soon will find the Savior. So we give thanks and seek your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.